God with us.
Thank you, Pastor. I feel very honored and blessed to be able to speak so often to my home church since being back. It's still wonderful to be back. Let's pray real quick before we get into the Word. Thank you, Lord, so very much for a church family. Dear Lord, I echo our brother's comments on the blessing that that is. Lord, I pray we would gather together, that we would pull together, that we would support each other in prayer. Dear Lord, indeed, support each other in the faith. Dear Lord, I pray we would trust each other enough to bring each other our problems. Dear Lord, that together we would be one body in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, I pray that as we trust you with our future, dear God, that we would continue to see testimonies pour out of your power. And dear God, be with us here tonight. I pray you'd bless the word preached. And dear Lord, that it would accomplish what it is that you want it to accomplish. In Jesus' name. Let's all say it together. In Jesus' name, amen. You're welcome to be seated. Very welcome to be seated. It's always an honor to preach at your home church to people you love and you know love you. And it is exceptional. I want to take us immediately to 2 Corinthians 1:8. Marked by a black ribbon in my Bible for this service. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1:8. It reads this. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, writing a letter to them. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." It seems a little odd, even to me, being the speaker, to preach from such a scripture as this in such a time of blessing that we have. I'd like to echo that, I'm sorry, it is 2 Corinthians 8. I'd like to echo Shannon's testimony of thanks to this church body. We came into Alaska. This isn't the best time to be looking for apartments. We found an apartment at an extremely reasonable rate in a building that never has openings, the manager told us. And we got that apartment easily and just perfectly in time, and then Aaron and Thomas and Bernard came over and helped us move all of our stuff, which was way more than I thought it was. And then and then Trudy and Frank were so gracious as to give us a couch, and our brother and sister here got us a bed for very reasonable, and we have been very blessed. I'd like to echo Brother Aranda's testimony of having land, something he's been looking for so long, and our pastor and his health being restored, and our First Lady and her health being restored. We are a people that are very, very, very blessed. I could continue on and on and on. This is a blessed house full of blessed people by their God. And likewise, it seems kind of odd that Paul would write this to a church. A church that he is supposed to be supporting. A church that looks up to him. He's the guy with answers. He's the man with answers. He's the one that is supposed to be supporting them through this letter. And it's so important to him. He didn't give it to somebody to relay through memory. He didn't say, "Now tell him this. Send him my best," or something like that. He wrote it down. He wrote it down, and I'm glad that he did, because it's recorded all the way until now, and it was preserved all the way until now perfectly so that we could dive into it. And there are points in Scripture that make me wonder like that. Make me wonder, why was that saved forever? And it must have ministered to somebody at some point, and today this will minister to us. I'm going to read it again. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Pressed. Troubles. Pressure comes down and pushes us down from where we would reach up. Pressure comes and pushes us out of the way that we would stay. Pushes us out of the place that we're comfortable. Pressure comes, it seems, from all angles sometimes, and squeezes us or wrings us out from any joy or happiness or bright days that we might have memory of. Pressure comes, and sometimes pressure even builds up inside. It builds up inside of us in worry and fear, and builds up inside of us in angst, and makes us want to run or move or shout or something. Pressure seems to be on all sides. Pressure, all the time, always. And how then to reconcile this pressure and this scripture with Romans 8:28? Romans 8:28, which says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I love God. Why am I feeling this pressure? I love God. I'm in His purpose as best as I know. I love truth. I'm coming to church. I'm faithful. Why do I feel this pressure bearing down on me, holding me down when I want to move forward and progress, or pushing me back from where I had once obtained? Pressure. All things, God? Really, all things work together for good to them that love God? Every little thing? Because I've experienced some things and I didn't see God's hand in it. And I'm sure you have also. All things, all the pressures that I feel, everything that I've experienced works together with you, together in such a way that it would be good for me, good for my family. Pressures come in all sorts of ways. There's the pressure to provide for a family. There's the pressure to grow and be everything that you're supposed to be. There is the pressure of past guilts and shames. Hidden pressures that are sometimes very hard to relieve. Pressures all around and inside of us. When I look in Scripture, there's pressure on almost every good character of the Bible. You look at David, and he's pressed right out of his home, pressed into the hills and the caves, pressed into service with men he would not normally want to be associated with, pressed outside of a friendship, outside of a king's home who had at one time welcomed him in, pressed out of even the calling of God. God had him anointed as king, but now he's not that anymore. He's an outlaw, pressed. David and Israel pressed against the Red Sea, pressed between Egyptians that would enslave them again and a sea that seems to be insurmountable. Joseph pressed out of his family, pressed into slavery, pressed into prison, pressed forward and down and across, and Amos and all the prophets pressed. Amos pressed. He described it like being under a cart that's laden, like under a full truck. I'm pressed. He was pressed by his culture, crushed by it. He felt. Jesus, of course, pressed. Pressed to a purpose, that highest purpose that we take advantage of in salvation. Pressed. And then the apostles afterwards, those that would be called by Jesus' name, continue to be pressed and are, of course, in this verse, in this opening verse, our model. Pressure always. And so I believe it is in our best interest to read all the inspired word and to derive from this what it is that Paul wants us to know and that church to know, that just because we're called by God and just because we've taken on the name, we've been baptized and we're sin free and we're living righteous now, doesn't mean that it's without trouble. It doesn't mean that pressure doesn't come. He's not concerned about making the gospel so much palatable as he is in their salvation. And so he's giving them examples again and again in that chapter that trouble comes, and it's come to even me. And so when that happens, don't be discouraged and don't be dismayed, but you must know that in pressure there's a purpose. You must know that in pressure there's a purpose. Don't be dismayed. Don't lose your faith over what happens around you. Don't lose your faith over the pressure that builds, over the discomfort that comes, because it comes to everyone. None more, I would imagine, than Job. Job was pressed. Job 3, I'd like to take you to there to read just a little bit of his perspective of his situation. Job 3:1 says, "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day." Jumping further into that chapter, chapter 3, 24, he speaks and says, "For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters." 25, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." And he had this fear in him, and now it has burst into reality, and he is crushed. His heart is crushed with the children that he lost. His ambition is crushed with the riches that he lost. His relationships are crushed as friends turn on him. He's lost his support. He's lost his family. He is withstanding friends, fighting with his wife, fighting suicide. This is supposed to be a righteous man. But at his weakest, see, the devil came and talked to God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil had not. And the devil mocked, and the devil said, "Well, you've blessed him so much, of course he loves you. We are a blessed people." And the devil resents that, and he says, "Well, you've blessed him so much, of course he loves you. I bet if you took away his blessings, he'd curse you." And God knew the kind of relationship that Job had developed with him. God knew the heart. And God said, "Try it. Try my servant." And there was a purpose in all of Job's troubles. In all of his troubles, there was a purpose there. It wasn't just God being a mean kid with a magnifying glass on an anthill. He wasn't crushing Job for no purpose. In all of this, his relationship is validated and God is glorified. In all of his pressing, the purpose is that he realizes and God shows that at Job's weakest, he loses his health next. At Job's weakest, he is stronger than the devil. In his relationship with God, at his very weakest, with nothing under him to support him, he is stronger than the temptation of the enemy. He is stronger than the devil's wiles. He is stronger than the devil's power. He is able to stand on the relationship that he has with God and say, "Though he slay me, though the troubles overcome me, though I'm pressed to nothing, nevertheless, I will love my God and I will live the way that he wants me to." There's a purpose in the pressing. He was pressed for a purpose. The devil didn't believe that without blessings, Job could remain, much less excel. And if you've read that story, you know that at the end, not to wipe away the memory of the children that he lost, but in the end, he's doubly blessed. He has twice the size of the cattle in the field and twice the size of the family, and he is doubly blessed. And through his endurance, through his withstanding the pressure, through his holding on to the relationship that he has with God, he is able to overcome and be doubly blessed. In researching this sermon, I've called it Pressed for a Purpose. There are many things that are pressed for a purpose. And of course, there's grapes that are stood on, but I didn't like that mental image of bare feet on grapes. And I read a little bit further, and this came across my attention, that olive oil is also pressed. In fact, olive oil is an ancient miracle. What proof of God there is in olive oil? This simple thing that everybody had access to, but in ancient days it was good for eating like we do now, but it was also good for light and heat. It was also good for medicine, and it was used in worship. An ancient miracle, this olive oil. It's not easy to come by. It takes 3 to 12 years for an olive tree to mature to produce oil olives. However, once you do have that tree growing in your land, it could last 2,000 years. I was shocked to read that. Table olives are not the same as olive oil olives. I was intrigued by that also because I like olives. I like Kalamata olives. I like the sour little green ones that you get at Thanksgiving. I like olives. Shannon doesn't like olives. This isn't an illustration for Shannon. But I like olives. I like the olive bar and trying all sorts of new ones and how they stuff them with different things. But table olives, those olives that you would eat just whole or pitted, are not the same as oil olives. And it was interesting to me to find that out. In fact, if you were to eat an olive that produces oil, a good, good oil olive, it would be very bitter. The oil comes from a bitter olive. The goodness, all that ancient miracle, the medicine, the worship, the light, the heat, everything that comes out of that olive comes with a bitterness. In fact, I read this quote. It said, "The opposite of bitterness is the taste of rancidity." If you taste an olive oil and it's supposed to produce, or an olive and it's supposed to produce oil and it's not bitter, then you have a bad olive. It's rancid. Job's true oil of worship came with bitterness. True worship, true righteousness, it comes with a little bit of bitterness. It comes with a little bit more than just the sweetness we might expect. Job was crushed like an olive, and Amos and the prophets were crushed by their culture. And I wonder if we also are pressed down for a purpose. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it at times. But I wonder if we could go into the pressing as soon as we feel the pressure and know that God has a purpose in this. Could we be so mindful as to say that if I'm being pressed, that there must be a reason. That when the weight comes and pulls us down, we might just run to the altar and pray. That when we feel the pressure, we might just throw it all on God. That when we, like Hezekiah, get bad news, we would just spread it out before the Lord. That we would prostrate ourselves intentionally and run to our relationship with God. That we wouldn't be pressed out of place, but pressed into place. That we would accept it and embrace it and take it. And God, you know what you're doing. I trust you. What if I just stayed at the altar? What if I was always praying and worshiping? It didn't have to be pressed there. Even the sinner Absalom knew that if he would press himself against the altar and take a hold of the horns, that there was power there that would even overcome a king. His father had to send after him. Absalom had sinned and had tried to take the kingdom, and there was death coming for Absalom. But he took a hold of the altar, he took a hold of the horns, and he knew at that place, if he would just stay there, stay close to it, nothing bad can happen to me. I'm taken care of. It would even overcome a king. There is an altar of doctrine. There is an altar that God has built, like altars are built brick upon brick, stone upon stone. His altar of doctrine is built with precept upon precept and promise upon promise, and we can press ourselves to it. Just as they would worship at the altar and sacrifice things and receive from God, we also can worship in spirit and in truth. And see ourselves made better at that point. The pressure can drive us to be closer to God, to be more wrapped up in His purpose, to shed things that we don't need anymore. Paul was pressed by the Spirit in Acts 18:5. In Acts 18:5 it says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." He starts preaching doctrine. You've got to know that Jesus is Christ. You've been waiting. You've been waiting for a Messiah. You must know He's pressed in the Spirit. And likewise, in intercessory prayer, we can be pressed in the Spirit to move and speak and act. And He's pressed in the Spirit to put them at doctrine. And maybe they oppose it like they did in this story here. They oppose doctrine. But nevertheless, pressed in the Spirit. I don't want to preach something that's unpopular, but it doesn't matter because I'm pressed in the Spirit. Because I'm going to allow the pressure to move me. That I'm not going to fight it anymore, but I'm going to accept that it is God's will. And He's pressed against them in His teaching. They push it back, and He actually has to just write them off completely and say, "I'm going to the Gentiles." And thank God for that pressure, because it opened a door to salvation for me and my boy and my family and this church. It takes pressure sometimes. Sometimes it takes pressure. And you likewise are pressed for a purpose. When I look in my life at times that I've been pressured and good things have come out of it, I realize that I have either been pressed out of danger's way, shoved out of the train's path, to give you an illustration, shoved out of a bad relationship maybe I didn't even know was bad yet, pushed out of danger's way, or pushed into a mold, pressed to conform to God's image and God's purpose. Talk about the potter and his making of vessels, and it's one of my favorite illustrations because I have a little bit of experience with it, and it's so easy to imagine that a potter takes a lump of clay, which is nothing. We can find it on the beach outside. Worthless. and can make something not only useful but beautiful out of it. Pressed. It takes pressure. He's got to pinch and pull and spin and press, and you have to knead that clay. And it's my favorite illustration, but nevertheless, we can also be pressed into his image, into his purpose. All of this comes down to a matter of trust. Can we hold on to Romans 8:28? Reading it again, can we hold on to that promise? It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Can I hold on to that in faith? Or will I be pressed away from it? Will the pressure make me break? Or will I lean on the strength of God? It's a matter of trust. I have a wonderful cousin. She's a pastor's wife in 29 Palms now. And she had this saying that was just so mature and so powerful, and it inspired me. And she would get into a situation, they would as a family, and it would be uncomfortable. And she would say this to everybody. You'd come up to her and say, man, I'm sorry to hear about your husband's health. Or I'm sorry to hear that, you know, that your business isn't doing as well as you had hoped. Or I'm sorry to hear this or that. And you're wanting to console her, and she turns around and tells you, well, I'm just looking forward to learning the lesson because I don't want it to happen again. And she was so trusting of God, so ready and willing to accept the circumstance to get out of it what God's purpose was. It was powerful and inspiring to me. And likewise, I would want to grow to that point that I could trust God even under pressure. Because the devil's temptation isn't always to trade what's good for evil. It's not always to trade maybe your morality. It's not always to sell out and sell out your faith. It's not always to entice you. Sometimes the devil's temptation is to break, is to give into the pressure, to die. Paul, in writing, says we felt like dying. Job says, I feel like dying, I curse my day. That's the devil's temptation in these situations. And if all we're looking for is the enticement of beautiful things, or the enticement of trading, we might not realize the temptation under pressure is to give up, to just say, I'm not going to go to church anymore. Or I give up. I'm not even going to try and live right around my family anymore. To give up, to break, to snap under the pressure, rather than lean on the strength of our great big God. We've got so many testimonies of how God has sustained and supported us and helped us, and we can lean on those memories and know that, yes, I can. I can continue to trust him. That I don't have to curse God and die as Lot's wife enticed him to do. She tried to make that appear in such a way as a good thing. You could just curse God and die. Get your last, you know, hurrah. No, let's not do that. Let's trust God for his process and what it is he's doing. I'm glad to say that Paul didn't stop writing at that verse. 2 Corinthians 1:8 continues. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. It was beyond our strength to withstand the pressure, and we despaired our lives. But verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. That's the power. But in God, which raiseth the dead. We despair even our lives, but if we are killed, we know that God can raise us back up. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He didn't just save us. It's not just that he can raise us from the dead, but he saved us from the death of sin. He saved us from that eternal death, that damnation that comes with sin, that consequence of selfishness and breaking the ways of God. Not only can he raise us up mortally, but he has already done such a work in our lives that we can trust him. Reading on to verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I'm so glad that we have times of prayer where we can share what it is our needs are. He's thankful for the prayer of this church. He's thankful. Ye also helping together by prayer. I'm so glad for a church that'll pray. I'm so glad for a pastor that prays. I'm so glad that we can support each other in prayer. I'm glad I get to pray for Trudy and Frank and support them. And I look forward to the testimonies that come out of all of our prayers. And I look forward to rejoicing with you like this church gets to rejoice with him. They were supporting him in his missionary journey, and it was uncomfortable. And at one point, he despaired his life, but he knew that there was a church body behind him supporting him through prayer. And likewise, as a church, we can overcome the pressures. When one of our members is weak, when one of our members is under, when one of our members is pushed out of sorts, we can go and visit, we can go and pray, we can deliver to them a reminder of that great, powerful God that we have. I want to brag on our pastor and his wife. He spent 3 hours with Trudy and her husband, bringing church to them when they couldn't come. They want so badly, but their bodies are broken. They can't come to church and be with us. And so they go and they minister to them. They're pressed. They're pressured. They are under, but we have a family. But we're one body. But we can heal each other. We can reach out and console each other. We have the benefit of all of Christ's body. I want to give thanks for our past trials. I want to give thanks for what God has allowed us to endure, because I know that we're stronger for it. If you'd stand with me, I'd like us all to give thanks for past trials, and I'd like us to think on those when we find ourselves at a point where we have to trust God, where I have to lean on my great God, where I'm not strong enough on my own to withstand the pressure that is mounting against me. Let's do like that scripture and pray for each other. It's been a burden of mine to continue and pray and more for you, for those that I would love to see in this church. Let's do like this scripture and support each other through prayer. Likewise, let's also thank God, recognizing that he has a purpose. I can trust God even when I'm uncomfortable. I can trust God when I can't see ahead of myself in the way that I'm going. I can trust God when there's a bend that I didn't expect. I can trust God in all of his promises and continue to worship in spirit and truth and not be broken by the pressures of life that mount up around and on top of us. It's not up to you. There's a wonderful wise man that said to me once, if you're taking credit for what goes wrong, you're probably taking credit for what goes right. And I don't want to steal glory from God, but likewise, we can't steal glory from God trying to make it on our own. But no, we need to lean on our great big God. If we could gather together as our pastor's wife sings and leads us in worship, I would really like if those that have a little bit of pressure in their lives could come to the front, and we would gather together with them and support them in prayer. If you're not too bashful to identify yourself as I'm having a little bit of pressure, as one that's pressed a little bit by life and concerns and the world, I know that your church body, your church family would love to support you through prayer. Maybe we could ask each other. Maybe if you already know a need, they don't have to identify themselves. We could just pray for each other. And then also, I'd like us to worship and thank God for the wonderful things that he's brought us through. Healings, provision, wonderful things, bringing us through things we didn't think we'd overcome. Let's do that together. Let's bind together and pray, and then let's worship God for what it is he's already done.
On, I'm going to keep on going on. The devil may try to turn me around. I'm going to keep on going on. I'm going to keep on going on. I'm going to keep on going on. The devil may try to turn me around. I'm going to keep on going on. I'm going to keep on going on. I'm gonna keep on going on. The devil may try to turn me around. I'm gonna keep on going on. I'm gonna keep on going on. I'm gonna keep on going on. The devil may try to turn me around. I'm gonna keep on going on. I'm gonna keep on going on. I'm gonna keep on going on.